Number two is air.
Greetings. Greetings. I'm Uncle Odd, and I'm your co-host, along with Ab the Fakeologist. Now it's Sunday evening, September 27th, the year NORAD stopped tracking Santa, and instead followed the invasion of the murder hornets, coming to a city near you. Welcome to the show. Oh, tonight you're in for a big treat. While the subject matter at large is not about the Mandela effect, it kinda is. Perhaps you are not Mandela affected. And you may know our guest tonight to be the Infinite Plane Society radio host, Tim Osman. But when I was growing up, I knew him to be Donnie Osman. Honest Engine. Crazy, right? Well, before the show, I checked with my ultimate source of authority on the Mandela effect, Brian Stavely, and he confirmed it to be true. Tim Osman used to be Donny Osmond. I don't judge. Well, enough about Donny. Let me tell you about Tim. This asymptomatic carrier of bullshit detection has a daily YouTube show called Infinite Plane Society. Subscribe to it. That's where he auto-hoaxes everything from the spinning globe to NASA, Elon Musk, George Floyd, Brickanon, and to the big daddy of them all, the 2020 made-for-TV series called Nondemic. The boogie virus is gonna get ya. Now, while it would be beneath good old Uncle Odd to start any rumors, I did hear that Tim Osman, he has a fetish for masked, cropped hair women named Karen. And I also heard that he's actually Greta Thunberg's handler. I read it on the internet, so it must be true. Well, after this interview, you are welcome to reach our guest 24/7 at his Masonic vanity phone number, 833-311-1984. That's 833-311-1984. Tim prefers it when you call him between midnight and 5 a.m. Now, in the meantime, sit back. Sit right back and harvest some keen insight from the talented radio show host who delivers the news like no other, I promise you. He's the man who is followed on Twitter by none other than President Fauci himself, Mr. Tim Osman. Welcome to the show.
Wow. What a
Tim Osman, welcome. Hey, glad to have you.
How's my sound? Can you hear me okay?
It's beautiful.
It's good.
Okay, so I'm joined here then by Ab. Is that you? I'm a fakeologist.
That's me, Ab the Fakeologist. Yes, sir. That's me. Hello.
Okay, and of course, thanks for joining. Everyone here, I have a lot of people on the live stream, just so they know where we're coming from. Why don't you give them a little background to your particular podcast and why you invited me on to be as a guest today?
Well, I'm kind of trying to suck up to you because you are my boss in a weird kind of way, because I am an IPS field reporter, Tim. And I think the reporting structure is up to you. So thank you for being on the show. FakeoTube with Uncle Odd. What this show is about, when I launched it, I wanted to do something with Ab the Fakeologist and be able to have guests on who I deemed tip of the spear – truth researchers, if you will, or content providers. And Ab had launched a website called FakeoTube, FakeoTube.com. And he did that for himself because there started to be so much censorship on YouTube. So it really became the destination for the stuff that Ab likes, where he knew they would get censored or deleted, so he would provide them a home over at FakoTube.com. So he is an excellent purveyor of really, really good videos. So anyone in the chat or listening in, I recommend you go to FakoTube.com and you just do what you need to do to sign up. And then in your feed throughout the day, you'll get videos that are edgy, that likely may get deleted at some point in the time, but they've all been filtered through Ab, and he's just really good. It's really my go-to every day. So when I was exchanging with Ab in his Discord server, as you guys know, within these Discord servers, it can get kind of frustrating, and I was on a call with about 15 different people and every Saturday morning, and it seemed like because of the 12-hour difference in Australia that, you know, most of them were drunk because it's Saturday night there. I don't judge. So, but what happens is everyone starts talking over each other, and I started just getting frustrated, and I reached out to Ab, and I said, hey, man, I'm going to take a recess because I'm kind of out. And he encouraged me. He said, man, I like what you have to say. You kind of have a no bullshit, you know, approach. Why don't you start your own channel or something, Discord server? And so I thought about it, and I thought, why not? And so not too long ago, I launched FakoTube with Uncle Odd. So who is Uncle Odd? Uncle Odd is a character I invented, because I'm actually within my family, I'm called Uncle Odd. And I'll tell you why. So Uncle Odd, there's an Uncle Odd in every family, Tim. Uncle Odd is the one who is at Thanksgiving relegated to the little kids table because the adults just cannot stand one more conversation that's conspiracy related. So Uncle Odd goes to the little kids table and he likes the little kids. And, just as a matter of fact, they just can't enunciate his real name, Todd.
This year, there's no way this year that they're going to be tolerating the Uncle Odds because Uncle Odds are rejecting the masks. Ah. So you won't even be allowed in the house.
That's why all of the kids, they are planning a parental coup, and we're actually going to host them all at our house, which is a mask-free zone. So yes, so that's you are at the top. We're one of the ones at the top of our list that we would love to have on. And I remember talking to you on your show, several times under the guise of President Fauci. I'm President Fauci. And, we had some good conversations. And I remember during that show, I said, man, I would like to interview you at some point in time. I don't know if you remember that, but, so Ab and I, we just started doing this, having some people on, and it seems like people are liking what we're providing. We have no real agenda except trying to keep up with all of the bullshit being purveyed through the media. And right now I think the buzzwords are, at least in my company, I heard it for the first time last week, that the guidance that's coming out, they're starting to call this the post-COVID American renewal. I don't know if that's the first time you heard of it, but get used to it. You're going to be hearing that a lot. So I kind of reject this post-COVID American renewal or worldwide renewal because I submit that there is no virus. It does not exist, never did. And probably if anybody's listening to this or you're live streaming, if they're listening to you, they know that as well because it's a pretty smart group that follow you for sure.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the people in my chat, I think, agree with my assessment, which has been that virus is a construct analogous to sin, and it's designed by the elites to frighten people in such a way that they can be regulated down to the very minutia of their daily activities. So you can't even go within 6 feet of someone. You can't shake a hand. And I've seen signage at bars saying you shouldn't even be making eye contact, which I predicted would happen. I figured at some point they're going to ban eye contact because that's always a prelude to breaking social distancing.
Do you think it'll get there? I know that you've been a strapping entrepreneur, and I think you have eye coverings now and ear coverings. And what else are you working on?
Well, right now what we have, the main thing is the 24/7 channel, but you mentioned it, you're an IPR field reporter.
Yes, I am.
You're one of the lucky ones if you haven't been chased with a lead pipe, tased, maced, or baton. But this is what separates us, I think, from other channels that are looking at the news through a screen. You know, we get people on the ground because auto hoaxing requires fact checking and you can reality test the claims of the media. And you can't reality test the claims if you're not participating in reality itself on some level.
Yeah, right. let me just butt in here if you don't mind. I just want to say hi to Tim. Tim is at the top of my podcast list for sure. Tim does a daily output pretty much now. He takes calls, and he's also one of the first people that is helping beta test the live streaming at FakoTube. So he's actually live streaming right now on FakoTube. And it's still a work in progress trying to see what works, what doesn't, and the recording and whatnot. So we're grateful that he's helping out there. And Tim is also really good at trying new software. He tries even more new software than I do, and I can barely keep up with all the things he's tried, but I appreciate that because I think it's a great way to try and figure out what works, what doesn't work, what's going to stay around for a while. So Tim is all over the place, total information awareness. He's just flooding the zone, I guess, a football term.
Yeah, IPR has a better record than Q. Our IPR drops, the followers, the tips, yeah, definitely we've got a track record, and I appreciate obviously working with other people in the same arena because, like, you improved my phone system. I was paying too much for something that really didn't have a good performance versus what I'm using now. And this vanity number thing, I'm glad you emulated that with the 1984.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And I tell people, call in 24/7. You know, leave voicemails if you don't want to call in live, and I'll play your voicemails live because we're trying to get a good grasp of reality because we're building the infrastructure, I think, for the new media, the real new media, which is not the alternative grassroots stuff.
Well, yeah. Tim, what have you been doing? What is your macro plan? What are you working on? Can you give, because, I mean, you just seem like you pump out so much content, and I'm like, do you ever sleep?
Well, the thing is, I think we have to be aware that, you know, to be competitive, we have to be 24/7 and we have to keep people abreast of the 24-hour news cycle. Not that we care about it or we're affected by it, but because we need to know what the sheeple are being programmed with. Mm-hmm. So my objective here with the Infinite Plane Society is decentralized everything, reevaluating everything, not just the news. And, you know, ultimately though, I want to get enough reporters that I can have something analogous to the Daily Beast, but all of it based on reality, right, not reinforcing government propaganda. So I do have I want to basically recreate that, but I do think that there's a growing network of people like us who see through the bullshit and don't even waste time that, we can go into a post bullshit media.
And you actually, your last audio, I just finished listening to that today. I usually listen to your audio. I don't watch it because I'm usually driving. So anytime you can actually describe what you're looking at is great because I can't watch the screen. Plus the fact, one small critique is you have so many flashing knobs and buttons on your screen. It's hard to track what exactly you're concentrating on. And it's hard to see the actual screen that you're looking at and commenting on because I know you video, you live stream the videos that you're actually commenting on, which is great because a lot of the times the videos disappear. So that's also great. But one of the last ones, the last one that I saw was you had a guy that was, I believe, on the ground reporting in some kind of rally. And yet another great caller who was from Portland. And that guy was reporting on literally a movie set camp where the crisis actors were camping to that literally maybe a traveling troupe that are brought in from out of state that are there to do the demonstrating to simulate, I guess, some sort of, well, it's an astroturf demonstration because it's not organic. So it's an arranged, orchestrated, on the ground demonstration. So that was fantastic reporting. That was some information you won't get anywhere.
Yeah, let me bring this up. So if you guys saw yesterday, there was a meeting at this in Yorba Linda at the Nixon Library. There was a big protest, and it made the news because some triggered Antifa, an organizer for this group, I think they're called Caravan of Justice, ran over some Trump supporters. Well, that was declared a riot. Well, right before she ran over those Trump supporters, she confronted one of our reporters on the ground, Infinite Jack. She taunted him, maced him, tased him, broke his camera. We're trying to fix the files for the first two videos because the metadata was screwed when the GoPro got slammed on the ground. But so, yeah, we were right there, front lines, one of our reporters. And I'm not saying he had anything to do with her running over people. She was already macing people. Right? She was basically rampaging against anyone she thought was a Trump voter.
Yeah, and that was horrible.
We do have someone in Seattle who lives at Ground Zero for Chazistan in the same building as Raz. And then we have another reporter, of course, there last night who you heard who, yeah, he said that there's a 3-block section there in Seattle that is a temporary tent city for a bunch of actors, more or less.
Sorry for the downtime. Just looking in the chat. And have we not fixed? Did the echo not go away?
I don't know where the echo's coming from. The problem is we're all super streamers here. Tim is streaming, okay. I'm streaming, so.
Got it.
It's pretty hard to isolate. It's not that bad at my end, so okay, we'll do our best.
Fine. Tim, just to let you know, I made you co-host in case you did have anything that you wanted to share on screen. Be my guest.
Okay, so let's continue here. We were talking about this Chazistan thing. So what's your take on these riots? Like, what if you had to put a number, like, let's say we have all these different riots. And do you get the idea that there's a great deal of, crisis acting going on here?
Oh, God.
Well, instigation. Yeah, they're definitely somewhat – it seems like they're guided or steered definitely by the powers that be, by the controllers, by some sponsors, for sure. It seems like they're sponsored.
Yeah. Can I make an admission, Tim?
By all means.
I freaking have fatigue of all of this. I mean, I just don't even tune into it anymore. I'm just so over it. And I think that's a great majority of America now. So I think I almost think these crisis actors are acting for themselves. I think that people and if it accomplishes anything, I think it's counter to what they want it to achieve, because it's just so ridiculous. We're at the point that it's like enough of the COVID bullshit, enough of everything, please. 2020 has sucked. It's football season. Let's just get back to normalcy. Little bit, please. Do you think I'm wrong?
I only know about the riots through Tim's show, actually. I don't even watch the news, so I only hear it from Tim's show, basically, IPS's show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm keeping up with the Metascript, is what I call it. This overarching storyline. And it seems like, well, no, it doesn't seem like, the Metascript is pointing toward a civil war. And so since I've been following these riots very closely, there is a storyline that's been developed here. There's been characters put onto the stage. And, you know, notably with this guy in Portland who shot a prayer patriot in the chest at 8:46, which is the exact time that 9/11 started. And, of course, that's the amount of time that Derek Chauvin knelt on George Floyd. And I've been digging into the Metascript here, the underlying storyline. And so the name Derek means hangman, and it derives from some German hangman who actually hung like 3,000 people, another 9/11 connection. And then his last name, Chauvin, interestingly enough, the Proud Boys out there in Portland, these patriots, call themselves Western chauvinists. So it looks very
interesting.
The big story.
See, that's what I love about you, Tim. And I saw in the chat somebody is like, "Pray tell me who is this?" So I'm going to ask you to kind of give an overview for those who may not be aware of you. But I will say that what I respect more than anything is I don't know what your IQ is, but I think it's off the charts. And you assimilate, you take everything and just on the fly, you distill it down to these.
He's also the only one that talks about a Metascript, and that is so important. There's no one else that talks about meta, and I always enjoy the meta. I think the meta is super important, and I don't really get too bogged down by the details. I like the overall meta, the the PSYOP. I like all that information because people really need to understand how that works.
So, Tim, why don't you give us everyone a little backstory just about your channel and you and what you want them to know and where they can find you and where they can support you.
Okay, the best thing is search Infinite Plane Radio. And, yeah, my IQ is 33, as is everyone in the thing. So what I do is I just plug in. They do 90% of my research, 95% of the memes, and I just have to broadcast it.
Oh, your memes are great.
Yeah, the memes are epic. But I got started in this back in 2015, 16-ish, because I started really following closely the PSYOP in Charleston with the bowl cut Dylan. And I thought, this is too much of a coincidence. This guy's got the bowl cut. His name has too much resonance with the Littleton shooters. And the more I started analyzing it, then I thought there's no way you could have a service at a church 3 days after 9 people are shot. You didn't have time for ballistics or any of the investigation. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I saw other elements to the script that stood out to me. So I sent an email to Jim Fetzer. And that evening, actually, on Skype, we recorded a podcast where I was comparing the storylines connecting these various characters and how they're all composites. And I was like, look, the bowl cut is trying to say poor white. When Dylan Roof is wearing the Gold's Gym shirt, even though he's got spaghetti noodle arms, it means toxic masculinity. And so we were deconstructing these characters. That's where I got my start is with Charleston. But then fast forward a few months, I started paying closer attention because I was told not to the flat earth topic. And I started noticing something. I was like, well, there is a great deal of apparent esoteric symbolism around the space program. And then it really hit me that the space program itself might be a cover, a new iteration of Mystery Babylon, and that the rockets are literally obelisks. And we've basically been indoctrinated into an archaic worldview under the guise of science. So I went from auto hoaxing to flat earth and this big picture.
Tim, do you have a link to the Fetzer show? Because I was a huge Fetzer fan, even though I knew he was controlled opposition. He would never speak the truth about 9/11. I still loved all his guests, and I liked his blog with all the commenters. Did you have a link to that Fetzer show? Because I never heard that one.
Right. You know, that one's interesting because that was easily 6 months before I started live streaming. And it was just kind of out of the blue. I had never really done anything like that. But I had a background in telemarketing, and I was like, I'm going to try a live
What name did you use on the Fetzer show if I wanted to try and find it?
Probably under the name I was using to sell art, Jack Larson. You could probably find it, but I remember at the time I was traveling. I was in a hotel and on Skype, and so there might have been some audio issues, but it was around the time of Jade Helm. I think he was talking about Jade Helm.
Was that 2015, you said?
2015 or 16. It was when Jade Helm happened. And he had talked about that first, and then I jumped on afterward, and we talked about Dylan Roof.
And the other place I saw you actually on video, which I guess may be the only time you're on video, is you went to a council meeting to get it on record as Mark Sargent. And at the time, I didn't know what Mark looked like, so I wasn't sure who was who. I was getting super confused.
Oh, yeah, let me explain that. So
that was really good.
Well, there was this time when I decided – I realized how fake a lot of the stuff was. And I went over to a climate change protest, and I bullhorned it. I got a megaphone, which I bought on the way. And I told them that they're brainwashing their kids, that this is a big hoax. And the way I got in was I had a sign that said, save the planet. And on the backside, it said, Earth is flat. And, I started going out realizing, okay, if we're going to get these memes out there, it's going to take people going out into public. I don't have any friends that think like I do, so I hired a cameraman to, with a video camera to be there to record it. He thought I was giving a speech. I was like, yeah, be there at 3:30. And he didn't know I was going to go in front of the podium to disrupt. And so I used that bit of video, and I just thought, we got to try this again and see if we can get flat earth on the map. So I went to city council, and I talked about the bubbles in space. I didn't say flat earth, if you notice. I said bubbles in space, the ISS. Yeah. And the thing was that at the time, we were building this channel. We were trying to make this thing go mainstream. The flat earth topic was being ignored, suppressed, and marginalized. And so we were like, okay, well, if you're going to go spray paint flat earth on a cop car, say your name is Mark Sargent. That's the open source flat earth activist, kind of like Guy Fawkes. Mm-hmm. And so we were all doing deeds to put them so that everyone would go directly to Flat Earth Clues. We debated over it. Like, well, who do we send people to? We can't send them to DeBay because they'll say it's a Nazi thing.
Right.
We can't send Lord Stephen Christ. So we went with Sargent. And it did have something of an effect. And that was kind of the idea that we wanted to...
Wait, Mark Sargent was a LARP?
Well, no, the use of the name Mark Sargent was a LARP, just to make sure that when that went viral, it would send people to Flat Earth Clues, because like it or not, it happens to be the Reader's Digest version. And if you're trying to market an idea, you can't sell somebody on the big picture. You got to break it down.
Sure.
As complex, the simple. And yeah. That was our strategy at the time.
That was a good strategy. Yeah, do you know that I, and everyone accuses me of being in on things, I was the first one to call Mark Sargent, because I was sitting at my computer, I watched Flat Earth Clues, I was blown away by it, I thought it was an excellent summary, so I just randomly called the number that he posted right at the end of the broadcast. He answered the phone, and I just recorded it, and everyone thought that I was the one that helped bring Mark Sargent to the fore, because after that, who knew? He did probably 1,000 or 2,000 interviews, and he's obviously one of the number one flat earthers out there. So I'm not in on it. I haven't really talked to Mark since, maybe a couple times, but I really was just interested in Flat Earth Clues, how well it was presented. And it did suck me in a little bit, I have to say.
So where do you stand now, Tim, on the flat Earth? If somebody asks you, is the Earth flat? What is your response?
It's a burden of proof issue. You know, if you're a person of faith and you have faith in the same scientists that lied to you about COVIDs and global warming and dinosaurs, then sure, it's a ball. But you haven't been presented with the burden of proof, and the evidence that they've given us isn't evidence. It doesn't qualify. So no, here's the thing. It's not a debate of flat versus globe. It's a debate of globe or no globe, and globe lost, which leaves us with a big question mark. So infinite until proven otherwise.
Globe, what was that last part? Globe lost?
Yeah, in the globe versus no globe debate. The globe has been debunked. Oh, you see what
got
I mean?
Got it. Globe lost. Right.
But it was never globe versus flat Earth. And the point is
that
you couldn't logically make that assertion yet. And so it's like it's not even a real debate at this point. The globe lost a few years ago, and it's never actually been reaffirmed. They've tried. Starman was an attempt. Every launch is an attempt, but they have yet to actually prove it. And I think their next go at it is going to be with Tom Cruise when he goes up into the space station.
Right.
Is he actually booked for that movie?
Yes. And not only that, but there's a couple of modeling agencies that are sending models up there. So they're really going to try hard to cement the existence of low Earth orbit, outer space, and the whole shebang here in the next couple of probably next year.
Tim, have you ever commented on the idea from Simon Shack of cluesforum.info and September Clues fame that the whole flat Earth, if you want to call movement, or the way it just came onto the scene in 2015 and just blitzed YouTube with always put flat Earth in the title so it'll just come up every single time that NASA comes up. Do you subscribe or do you entertain the idea that it was just a DBA, discredit by association, where they were just trying to conflate the two ideas that space is fake, NASA is the fake agency for space, and they were just trying to discredit anyone that was basically exposing NASA for the fraud it was with the very difficult and impossible to prove idea that the Earth is flat, and flat people that believe it's flat have always been marginalized and considered kooks?
Yeah, I've heard that from many people, and I know a lot of people who will not associate with it because they believe it's a blackwash. Miles Mathis seems to think so, that it's a blackwash.
Yes, blackwash. That's right.
They used to say, if you think that the world is not heating up, you're a flat earther. So they have used the term as a blackwash. Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever expected an actual flat earth movement to emerge. I think it's a legitimate it's a legitimately dangerous idea because it undermines confidence in the authority of the priesthood itself. In other words, it introduces the very notion of fake science. They're mad enough that we know about fake news. Now we know about fake science. And I remember back when people first started talking about crisis actors, the legitimate conspiracy theorist said, oh, you're just a blackwash trying to discredit us. So whenever something new and possibly disruptive comes in, there are always people who will say, you're just here to make us look crazy. And right now, the flat earthers don't look as crazy as the people with masks on.
Tim, can you help define blackwash for those of, I'm not familiar with that term.
Sure. Whitewash is to like cover something up, but a blackwash is like a form of propaganda where if anybody touches this idea, even if it has like, even if that person touches this idea, even if they're totally credible and they've got all the letters by their name, suddenly they're discredited. So you could say that that was put out there in order to destroy people who are criticizing NASA.
So you could say that people, the doctors and the people in the medical community who have stepped up and said, you know, something doesn't smell right about this boogie virus, that are they being blackwashed? Is that the proper term? Is they're being, you know, auto-censored almost just for having an alternative point of view to the germ theory?
I don't think that's blackwashing. No, I don't think so.
I think they may be getting blackwashed, though, with some of these sideshow conspiracy theories like 5G is sending out coronavirus. Like, that could be a blackwash.
Yeah.
Like, a blackwash is any obviously discredited conspiracy theory put out there, like a really dumb conspiracy theory. In fact, if you look at that documentary Mirage Man, it does show that, yeah, the Air Force was using conspiracy theorists on their payroll to blackwash anybody's testimony should they see any craft flying out of Kirtland Air Force Base that they don't recognize, and they'll say, oh, it's just a conspiracy theorist claiming he saw this thing.
Yeah, it's complicated. It's confusing. But basically, if they – I guess blackwashing might also be called what Miles Mathis calls a parallel. So if somebody is out there – well, Miles Mathis says Q is a blackwash of him. So Miles Mathis says he's putting out the best truth regarding just about everything. He has a paper on everything. So he's either a real genius, or some people say he's an amalgamation or a team of writers, PSYOP writers. But anyway, so there, he says that Q is a blackwash of him because Q puts out some rather crazy ideas that are similar to Miles Mathis, but not the same. And if they promote the hell, if the media is promoting Q because they invented him, or the intelligence agencies invented Q, then people, if they think about any ideas that Miles Mathis has, they will be attracted to Q first because he is more heavily promoted. And he has crazy attached to him. So anyone who entertains these ideas will attach them to crazy, and then they'll repel the idea in their mind and walk away from it. So that, I think, is a good way of discussing blackwashing or parallel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, let me add one thing to it. I would make one little caveat. I would say this. The flat earth movement itself, or the flat earth concept, isn't the blackwash. The blackwash is the biblical flat earth model. That's actually a blackwash because they've taken an anti-science stance. But if you were following the scientific method, you wouldn't arrive at the globe, is my contention. And right. that when you're arguing from the Bible, you're going against science, which is not where we should be going, because science has been twisted for such a long time that people don't even know what it is. So I'm looking at that as, yeah, there is a blackwash. That way, the legitimate idea of flat earth, the concept of questioning everything we've been told from these specialists who have their special views, that's been discredited by the Bible and the biblical flat earthers. And many of the biblical flat earthers themselves, the ones on the streets, have been found to have been dragged out of prisons from you don't want to know where. So they're really questionable figures. If you didn't know this, the founder of the Biblical Flat Earth Society is going to be in jail for the rest of his life for kiddie porn. And he's not the only sex offender in that crowd of specifically biblical flat earthers. But the people who are out there measuring, taking their P900s, and doing the research, it's completely different. It's more of an intellectual thing.
Yeah, and there are really, really good, smart people doing just that. I have one question that's just been bothering me for a long time since you started covering her and you put a personal phone call into her office. But is the Chicago mayor a human being? Just doesn't look like it to me. What say you?
Yeah, the Chicago mayor is such a thug, a bully, and everything you would expect from a cry bully because
– Yeah, cry bully. That's another one of your terms. That's a great term.
Cry bully. He was walking down the street telling people, go home on the playgrounds, and they're just like, no, you. And she was power tripping. She was getting her hair done when no one else was. But then, you know, as soon as the rioters started going to her front gate, now it's a problem. Now she wants help. Now she's dialing 911. Total crybully.
Well, Tim, a lot of these characters that are the chief medical officers of states, of counties, of provinces, of cities, they are all very odd-looking people, and a lot of them look like they're chosen for the role, maybe for blackmail purposes. For instance, I don't know if you've looked at Dr. Teresa Tam, who has been the chief medical officer of Canada for a long time. She was in a movie 5 years ago about this very thing we're going through now. Is just a conditioning movie. I don't know if you've seen that. And she's a, he or she is a very odd looking person. And I contend that a lot of these people are transgender, or at the very least transvestite, and the very most transgender, or those undergoing some kind of transition, or they started off as some kind of androgynous creatures. Not creatures, they're humans that have been messed with, let's put it that way. So they're in those positions, and they're kept there and kept on message by blackmail, or just by virtue of the fact that they're so odd or so strange, they might be shunned by society for whatever they've done to themselves.
Well, to answer the question about the Chicago mayor, has anybody actually uttered the phrase Beetlejuice around her?
For sure.
Jeez. It's such a perfect term.
But have you seen the chief medical officer of LA County? That's another.
What is it with this? Okay, so when it comes to these chief medical officers, either they've been freshly dug up and from the podium, or they're like 300-400 pounds in need of a stomach stapling. All of them.
Well, they're just really super odd looking. But Tim, what do you think of my, like, I have two phrases I like to use around this. No, I've now renamed this whole thing that we're in the Great Coronavirus Hoax Reset. So I've conflated two super ideas, the coronavirus hoax, COVID-1984, with Klaus Schwab's Great Reset. I think one is facilitating the other. It's just a perfect marriage. They were obviously put together on purpose, and they even put them together on their own websites now, or have been, and I just started noticing myself and Todd. So what do you think about that? What do you think also of the idea that these chief health officers, which are epidemiologists, and I'm wondering if you might want to comment on that, the science of epidemiology, is it really a medical field, or is it more some kind of theoretical modeling of this idea that you can catch a virus? Because I think it's a false science, and I don't even think they're actually can be called medical doctors.
Yeah, great points here. And I think it's great that we co-opt everything. Co-opting the terms, the phrase Great Reset, anytime. Like when they first came out and they said flatten the curve, I put out a flat earth shirt that says flatten the curve. And anytime you can take their imagery, we should. In fact, auto hoaxer used to be a pejorative, so we took that over. And yeah, when it comes to this medical tyranny that we're under, I think the whole field of epidemiology from the very get-go has been contaminated by this what do you want to call it? I mean, there is definitely a religion, a worldview that's been prescribed for the whole world. And this world religion has its priesthood, and they've masqueraded a religion, which is really, I'm saying, it's a scientific cover over Mystery Babylon. Uh-huh. And they've just rebranded it. So I think epidemiology,
I think it's a false science.
The pseudoscience at best.
Yeah.
I think it's actually an ideology. And I think that it's almost like exorcisms, or even, it's essentially sin, and they're diagnosing sin. And it's like Scientology, like, oh, you got to go up with engrams, or you got to be purified through your fasting. It's a religious thing, and I think they dress it up with science. And I don't believe in viruses, and I think that COVID-19 is a devil designed in such a way that even the atheist will believe in it.
Mm.
Yeah, do you think it's the new world religion? Do you think the Pope will run this religion from Jerusalem as what we're keeping told is the Zionist plan, where the throne of the one world religion will move to Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, or whatever place they want to rebuild the Temple of Solomon. I just think it's all tied together. They may have found their perfect religion, because even Hindu temples, I have a lot of Hindu friends where they mainly sat on a nice carpet in their temple. They are now sitting on chairs 6 feet apart. So they've literally I don't know what's inside mosques or synagogues now, but I can just imagine they've all been synchronized to the one world religion.
Yeah, exactly. I think that this is not disconnected from any of these other facets of it. The space program, that's the mysticism, the higher thought, astrophysics. And then, of course, global warming is the wrath of God. And NOAA, the organization that tells us the world's going to flood, that's part of the warning system, the doomsday preachers. They definitely gave us original sin in the form of the carbon footprint. COVID's the devil. It's a complete system, and it's the old Canaanite deity, and every single part of that religion has been recreated, and these rockets going into the sky, that's ball worship. And I would even say that the 6 feet spacing has to do with the Saturnian nature of the cult, and that's part of their numerology. So what they did was they created a religion for the whole world, universal, which is what Catholic means, and it's a perfect amalgamation of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and heliocentrism, which has atheism attached to it. And it
wow. Wow. So it is the new, it could be the new world religion then that we've been hearing about. It's not Chrislam. I heard another Chrislam, Christianity and Islam, Chrislam, but this is bigger than that. It's more.
Chrislam with heliocentrism, which is actually, the old religious paradigm dressed up as science. And in order for you to get baptized, your actual sacrament to get into this thing is going to be the vax.
Jeez.
Speaking of the vaccine, let's just do a thought experiment here, Tim. You are a COVID denier and a vaccine holdout. Everyone else in the world has gotten their vaccine, and because the news tells you so, you're going to die tonight. So it is your last meal, and you get to choose an appetizer, a main course, a dessert, and a drink. What are they? It's your last night, buddy.
Okay, so appetizer, drink. Wow. Now, let's see. Let me think about this for a minute here. Anything is on the table.
Anything's on the table.
I would want to be of service to everybody, you know, so if I have to take the vax for the team, I said I would. I'm kind of curious as to, I don't know, could I snort a line of adrenochrome or something?
That can be your appetizer. Sure, it's your movie.
No, but really, these psychopaths at the top, you know, they're either playing sick mind games or they're really sick. And I'm curious as to your take on it, because a couple weeks ago, Lady Gaga was actually playing piano that was a brain-shaped piano, and she's wearing this hideous face mask, and the keys are where the pineal gland would be. So she's playing this song, and the song is called Chromatic, as though adrenochromatic. And so I look at that, and I'm like, you know, are we really dealing with psychos on a really high level, or are they just trying to make it look that way?
I'll defer to you. I don't have an answer to that. I mean, mainly because I just cannot stand watching anything that's mainstream. So I miss her playing the brain piano.
I don't care for Lady Gaga, whatever that is, man, woman, or another androgyne. I really can't stand the whole psy, as Tim likes to call it, the psyop entertainment complex. It's just a real stomach turner for me.
It really is. All these celebrities are important, though. If they didn't have celebrities and athletes, they wouldn't be able to send their message to every single person out there, because not everyone's watching the news, which is smart. So you think, oh, it's safe. I'm going to play a video game. And then before you know it, you're deep in the PSYOP entertainment complex, and you're ready. Psychologically, you're prepped for whatever BS they serve you through the news.
So do you think that, you know, they brought back the only thing that matters to me this season, which is football season. I'm one of those guys who really likes it. And I'm sitting here thinking, because I so know that this boogie virus doesn't exist and that this is all bullshit and that everyone is under a spell. I knew that football season, I don't know, no, knew, but I felt that football season would not be canceled because that's the bread and circus that I think if they can keep us tuned in on Saturdays and Sundays, we might not be having these kind of conversations, because I think people are have the same fatigue that I do, and it's just no more. So now they've given us a little bit of bread and circus, and interestingly enough, you don't see all of these teams coming down with someone with COVID that's wiping out the whole team. That would be inconvenient for the billionaires who billionaire owners of the NFL. Do you think they'll at some point there's going to be a crisis where all these teams, Tom Brady's going to come down with COVID and it's going to spread to the team? Or do you think we might just get through the Super Bowl?
Well, I wonder if they're going to play with football like that. Wouldn't shock me. I mean, they had Batman in production. They pulled him off the stage. I think The Rock just came down with COVID and then he endorsed Biden, which is weird. But I don't think that it's beyond them to have the season going, get our attention, and then bum us out by canceling now and then. But I think they'll get to the end. I don't think they can stop the circus, because the circus is a huge part of this whole play. And a lot of this meta scripting is actually coming right through the sports characters. Like most notably, LeBron James, Colin Kaepernick.
Sorry, but I was just looking at the chat here.
Yeah, it's distracting. We got a lot going on in the chat tonight. And Tim, is your chat going? I am not even looking at Tim. Tim is streaming to probably even FakoTube right now.
Oh yeah, I'm streaming here. We're on Facebook, Twitter,
Facebook,
Periscope, FakoTube. We're also on 3 YouTube channels as well as DLive.
Oh, you're doing 3 YouTube.
And we have an audio stream on Mixlr. And the reason why we have 3 YouTube channels is they keep shutting me down. And then those channels come back, you know, and I just plug them
in. Right. No, you're a master at that. So everyone that's out there listening, please come over to FakoTube with Uncle Lod. And every weekend, Sunday evenings, you'll get an interview with good folks like Tim. And in between, we try to produce some good content just to keep our finger on the bullshit media fakery that's going on out there.
So I should also be – I guess we should be also looking at your – one of your YouTube channels, because you have all the chats consolidating most likely at that place, I'm guessing.
Well, I'm keeping an eye on the chat, and you know, people are offering constructive comments as usual here. Most people are on the same sheet, and I have been sending people over there to FakoTube. I'm saying as soon as that's – I mean, there's going to be a point, I think, where – we're just going to mass migrate over there, because this is a 24/7 stream. And yeah, we're basically like a hydra here. That's been the whole thing. You know, I've had 82 plus channels. I even sued YouTube once, and a lot of YouTubers don't know this, but if you've ever been given a strike and you're still monetized, you can thank me for suing YouTube in 2019 or 2018.
Is that right? Tell us about that.
Okay. After I've lost about 6 channels because one individual was submitting fraudulent copyright strikes, I sued them in small claims. And because I didn't go to Santa Clara, they threw a fit, because in the contract, when you sign up, it says that if you're going to sue them, you will go there. So I didn't have any grounds, but I did get into a conversation with their attorney, and I explained, hey, look, your system has a loophole. People like me are being demonetized, and I've lost this many channels. And so what they did was they immediately, and this was in February, they upgraded their system. It was their first change in 10 years. And the system, the strike system, had changed. And the upgrade was you get a warning first before they start striking, because it kills your monetization. They never gave me credit for it, but I got the channel back, even though they told me I'm not allowed to have a channel on YouTube.
Good for you. I love that. I love people that take on the man.
And I'm also going to copy, Tim, your idea to use Restreamio, which I think is a great idea. And what you're doing is getting all these sites synchronized or being received at the same time from the stream. So I think that's a great idea. And Uncle Odd is going to work on that. He promises in the next week or so. He has a million things on his plate. But I think that's a worthwhile thing. Do you find that people just see you on – say a Twitter or a Twitch and stay over there wherever they're comfortable?
Yeah, there's that. Some people like Twitch because you get notifications and, you know, people get attached to their various platforms. Mm-hmm. YouTube has a great chat. DLive has its issues, but it's likable and it has the notifications. And then some just want the audio stream. And the audio stream that I have is also running 24/7 in the Discord server. You know, everything's become decentralized and you have to go everywhere. And so, yeah, with the Discord server in the voice room, there's a certain bot you can get and you just plug it in and it'll play your stream 24/7 in there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You should monetize your knowledge somehow. I'm serious. So someone like me that 6 weeks ago, after encouragement from Ab, you know, just decided, okay, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm going to start ugly and just, you know, whatever happens, it happens. And it's just evolved. It's like anything else. So you have gone through your own evolving process and now you're like, you just have it all figured out. Are you making money?
Yeah, well, I get paid in lemons and other things. But yeah, look, what I've done here too is I get a lot of people offering constructive criticism. About a week ago, someone said, get on Spotify. So I had to research that and I jumped on board something called Anchor, which pushes me through to Spotify, like 7 or 8 other podcast platforms. So that was a big upgrade. Someone else did the volume was too low. Everyone's always offering criticism.
Yeah. I said that for weeks that your volume was too low. So compared to your clips, they were one was loud and one was not.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to lemons, I get paid in library credits. My archives are auto backed up to library. Mm-hmm. YouTube used to be a way I would monetize my channel. If you remember, YouTube was pretty easy back then before they started censoring it to make a living off of it. They killed that. So I kind of gave up on that. So mostly I rely on DLive Lemons and then, of course, Patreon. And then,
how much can you make off the lemons?
Well, the lemons, I'm not sure exactly the going rate.
Is that like Super Chat, the lemons? Is that what that is?
Yeah, lemons, ice cream. No relation to the type that Biden likes. And then also Ninja Genies.
So you can actually withdraw money or they'll send you money through PayPal from DLive?
From DLive, it goes right into any bank account, yeah. So you can, it's like every 2 weeks. So that's how the channel pays for itself. But, you know, as you know, there's other ways too. I think that the best way to go about it is just memberships. I know that Patreon charges a lot, but the reason why I favor them or did is because it allows you to blast out live stream notifications. Mm-hmm. But lately I've migrated to something called Memberful. So if you go to infinitefreedomfighter.com, and I use both, but Memberful is very, very simple, where they go into my site and if they want the access to Discord and they want the archives and the newsletter, mm-hmm. all they do, and then they also get text message notifications. It's $1, easy sell, and it's easy to get a few hundred people or even a few thousand, you know, after a few months, if you're consistent enough, I think, to make it work. So the hardest thing for me has been demonetization on YouTube. So as soon as I started moving away from them, things have picked up.
So where is your central hub? Where is a site that's not going to move or change the name? Because that, to me, is your biggest issue is tracking you. Where are you?
It's never going to change from Infinite Plane Society, and that will always redirect exactly to where you will go for all the information. But I made it this way too. I made it so that however you search Infinite Plane Radio, you're gonna see or hear something.
That's infiniteplanesociety.com or .what?
.com.
Okay. Infinite Plane, there you go. Because some people are asking in the chat, where are you? So infiniteplanesociety.com. Okay, got it. So that is going to be your hub. That's where we can find all your ancillary sites, including this latest one I've never heard you say, and that's what is it?
Oh, Memberful is just, it's a plugin that you use to do memberships, and it's cheaper than Patreon, and it has it's kind of the exact same thing.
Memberful. Oh, yeah. I see it now. Memberful. It's a plugin to WordPress?
WordPress or Shopify or any site at all, and it's just a way to monetize your content. Another option too is Anchor FM, where they push your podcast to everything from Apple to Spotify, every podcast platform you can think of. Mm-hmm. And it gives users on Anchor FM the option of like $1, $5, or $10 a month or something. So another way to aggregate subscribers who support your work is anchor.fm, and you just put your audio there.
Wow. Okay. So you just keep trying everything. Yeah, I'm looking at Memberful now. And I think I'm a patron. I guess got to get the words right. I'm a Patreon of your site. Is that somehow relayed to your infiniteplaneradio.com?
What I do is anybody who's on any of these things, if it's on Patreon or whatever, they get the same exact links and the same emails. It's like I just copy and paste from one to the other. So I have two separate memberships that I maintain, and I've given up on YouTube monetization altogether. In fact, on my last channel, I've applied every month for like a year, and they always say no. And it's because they're personally mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you've got the wrong content. That's all it is. That's all it is to it. They're actively censoring, for sure. As a matter of fact, I paid for a FakoTube Apple app.
Right.
And I paid for that. And then you have to apply to Apple to get it in. And they actually, I think, have a human being that goes to look at it. And when they went to the FakoTube, they found all kinds of contravening messages to the HOW, Bill Gates Who. And they said, you have to take all those COVID videos down, which is every video. So otherwise they weren't going to approve it. So now I'm stuck having paid for an app that I can't put on the App Store.
That's messed up. And this is
really messed up.
They make it very, very expensive to not go along with them. And then you have to give up either the quality of your content. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. And that's terrible that they did that, because they're probably not going to refund you because you violated their stupid rules over the WHO's nonsense. And it doesn't even require that somebody complains. They have somebody there in person. They have some church ladies at YouTube who actually go through. And I think it is somewhat personal. We've actually had Google moderators appearing in our YouTube chats, deleting comments. And these aren't members. These aren't like YouTube channels. It's like somebody behind the scenes, real time.
Jeez.
Yeah, why is Apple, which is supposed to be a hardware company, actively censoring content? And it's almost as bad. I don't think Google's going to be much better in the future. Google, I use Podcast Addict to get your content, which is housed also on SoundCloud,
by the way, another place.
And Google kicked Podcast Addict, the number one podcast player on Android, off their platform for about a week, because they said he was facilitating podcasts that talked against the WHO, if you can believe that. So all he is a vessel. He doesn't obviously curate 10 million podcasts, but he was booted off. And that is his whole life income, this podcast player. He makes a living off it. Off of memberships or sponsorships or Patreons or however he sells it. He changes a lot too. The point is, though, there's Google actively censoring a vessel because it can get content that's contrary to the official stories, which is definitely unfair, ridiculous, and censorship.
It is, and I'm trying to always work around it. Earlier we mentioned Jim Fetzer. And he had a book that was censored off of Kindle, and it's one of the things I was doing to finance his channel was publishing ebooks on Kindle. So that's another answer to that question. Kindle ebooks. It's actually people do read today, and there's actually money in it. Anyway, one of his books on Sandy Hook was taken down, and it was called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. So I called him up and I said, hey, I've been doing some publishing. Why don't we publish a fictional take on it, and I'll hire a writer? So he published a new version called The Capstone Event. And the capstone event was the cover has, if you look at it, it's on Amazon right now. It never got censored. It's a fictional version of Wolfgang Halbig's conversation with the school, and it exposes the whole thing. And the cover art is actually Adam Lanza morphed with David Hogg.
And they're probably based on the same fictional template. Well, David Hogg is a human, is some kind of actor. And I don't think Adam Lanza is any more than a drawing. But now I see what you're saying. Yeah, you've got it. It's $18.32 Canadian cents on Amazon. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So this is Oh, that's an audio book I'm looking at. So this is the same book that Lenny Posner went after everyone for, but they've changed a few names. Is that what it is?
Yeah, now that it's fiction, and I said, hey, look, let's use fiction as code to get your ideas out there. And as you can see, that other book was banned, and this one's still up there, and there's nothing they can do, and it tells the exact same story.
So it's a fictional book based on a fictional capstone event.
It's, yeah, and exactly.
It's fiction on fiction. It's fiction squared.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. That is a great idea you had. Unbelievable. So you know, that's what I love about human innovation. When someone puts a lock on something, within 24 hours, someone has a key.
Whack-a-mole, man.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And we're always looking for loop and glitches in the matrix to exploit. And I was like, here's a glitch for you. Use fiction as code. And even now I see the New York Times putting out pieces saying, oh, well, comedy or jokes or satire might contain the dangerous seed of misinformation. So your funny joke might have COVIDs. So it's like they're even trying to censor satire. Which brings me to this. Since like right now we're talking and of course WHO is listening and they want to censor us, I make the point at least once a live stream to mention that this is a pro-vax channel. We want to vax the billionaire philanthropist. We want to vax Congress and Hollyweird. And of course, we don't think that the people who refuse to wear masks deserve the vax. So we're going to refuse it from them. But otherwise, we're pro-vax.
What do you think of Uncle Odd has started an initiative with a bunch of others to issue notice of liability letters to all these politicians that are actually the ones that are enacting these unlawful orders, mandates, regulations. None of them are laws. Although here in Canada, they're bylaws equivalent to a parking ticket. So I don't know if that makes it a bigger deal or not. I think a lot of people have been issued fines, but I don't think one person has ever been allowed to address the fines in any court if it's open at all up here. So I'm just wondering, what do you think of some of the legal maneuvers that our Uncle Odd is helping spearhead at fake11.com/NOL, November Oil Lima? What do you think of those? Do you think that could be an effective way to really put some of these common laws again that they love so much against them?
I think it's a great idea. Like that's why I went to the city hall. City council meeting. I think it's a good idea to give them a bunch of paperwork, inconvenience them, and make stories that they have and puts them on the spot. So I think it's great to be aggressive like that. Oh, I haven't heard about what Uncle Odd is doing. If you want to explain what fake11.com is about.
Yeah, fake11.com/NOL is just a repository where if you go back a couple of my live streams ago, you'll see that I have a couple of gentlemen on who really legally know their way around the system and are sending these NOLs to literally anybody who is making the decisions, like all of these oppressive decisions, issuing these mandates. So governors, Fauci, Burks, the mayors. And what this does, it allows you to, in the court of common law, and I'm sorry, let me turn that around. In the court of common law, which I'm still learning all about this, I'm going through the process right now, and part of what you get with this channel is I'm going through this total process, hiring them as a consultant, you know, for me, and everybody can be a voyeur along my journey. Because I am committed to be one of the people who don't necessarily have to have a license. You can choose to have a license, but don't have to be able to operate. That if I pay off my home at some point in time, I'll really own it. Those type things. And so I'm going through that service with them. And along the way, I'm participating in this notice of liability initiative to where I'm going to, with one other person who has agreed to join with me, we're going to sue, for the state of Florida. It's, sue is the wrong word. They corrected me on that, but let's just use it. We're going to file the suit in the state of Florida that's going to go to the, to Governor DeSantis and the different mayors and such. And it is going to hold them liable, personally accountable, not only as the governor, for example, but also as a man. Or if it's a mayor caster, as a woman here in Tampa, who signs the executive order, she's going to be held accountable as a woman. And ultimately, we're going to be able to use the legal process, so nonviolent, peaceful means to be able to put them on their heels. And the beauty of this, it's you should really, I know you're very busy, but you should go back a couple and just go through the notice of liability videos, because the way that they have written this, it is a checkmate. I mean, they have to respond to this within 21 days, and it's impossible to respond to it. And if they don't, then you give them a second notice. They then have 14 days. Finally, you issue them a third notice. After three times, it's like you have won the judgment legally. So I kind of destroy the explanation of it because I'm so new, but I am willing to be the tip of the spear here in Florida. It really, really is. I think it's going to work. And at the point in time that these people start realizing, holy shit, I'm accountable. They can put a lien on my home. They can put a lien on my assets because I never responded to this wacko, you know, notice that they sent me. That it's just pretty cool. So you can find those documents if you're interested. Just go to fake11.com/
N-O-L.
N-O-L.
In lowercase.
Yeah, can you also do it uppercase?
Well, that's a bug in the system, so I'm actually sending him a message right now.
Sure, so lowercase. So there's also another place that I think you'll be very interested in sending folks to, Tim, and that's fake11.com/mask. Now, what I've done there is I actually have a get-out-of-mask-free card legitimately because I have a disability that stemmed from a drowning event when I was young, to where anytime I disrupt my airflow, it's PTSD. I always get it mixed up.
PTSD.
It triggers my esophagus wants to close. So I mean, I panic. It's a panic attack. So I went through the whole process when all of this started happening. I'm like, man, I have to fly for a living. I have to get on a flight. So I need to be able to, I can't wear a mask. And so I went through the process legally and I ended up getting, you know, this is a little card I wear. I have a lanyard. That you've seen this that I use only for the visual, but then this hangs down underneath it and has the little handicap sign. And what this does is it said, this is to certify that Todd is a qualified individual with a disability that precludes him from wearing a face mask or a face covering of any type. The American Disabilities Act, ADA, and Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act are invoked, as well as 42 U.S.C. 12203, which prohibits the interference with or retaliation against the exercise of ADA rights. You are with notice of request for reasonable accommodation to allow Todd access absent a mask. Your denial of accommodation or access is your liability. For verification of the status or the legitimacy of his claim, call me at, and then it's my ADA advocate. And then finally it says, we document bullying and discrimination for litigation. So this is legitimate, but as flatten the curve in 2 weeks became, yeah, this is just fraud and this is a worldwide technocratic takeover. I'm like, everything that they are putting out there is a lie. So I created the document that basically provides people the ability to go in. It's a Word document that they can go in, follow the instructions and download. I have defined what disability is. Anybody who wears a mask that's forced to wear a mask, that makes you a disabled person. Go ahead, look it up. So If you are so inclined and you want to be able to go into any place without the harassment of them saying, where is your mask? All you simply have to do is go to fake11.com/mask, print off the Word document. It is editable. You can edit so that it's personal to you. And you're going to have your advocate on there, which is going to include a cell phone number that could be like your wife or whatever. It's just somebody who'll pick up the phone and say, yeah, I can attest that he has an issue. He needs to be able, he can't wear a mask. He needs to breathe. So
has anybody challenged you on it since you've been using this? Has anyone challenged you?
If people go down and they go to the, one of my earlier videos and they'll see I captured, it's a 10-11 minute video of me warring with Universal Studios at Volcano Bay. It is, I think you'll really enjoy watching it. You might even want to play it on your show at some point in time. It's good video, but it shows you the absolute, lunacy of these mandates. Basically, my family was there at Volcano Bay. There was a turnstile and they wanted to make me put on a face covering and it literally was 20 yards through the turnstile. And I'm like, I cannot. They made such a huge deal out of it. My family finally went through. It took me about 15 minutes to be able to negotiate and my way through. They wouldn't even look at this. They wouldn't read it. They wouldn't acknowledge it. I ended up trying to get an attorney. 5 different law firms I connected with or tried to get. None of them, and all of them were American Disability Act law firms.
Wow.
None of them responded. And you know why? It's because they are making so much money advising the businesses what they need to do to become ADA compliant. So they aren't going to, you know, be that law firm that sues their clients. So that was a point in time. I was very disenfranchised after that. And I went into off fuck it mode. Now I'm like, these guys have been lying to, this is all a lie. So I feel like we can all be in integrity. Make one of these, laminate it. The instructions are all there. Make it personal to you. And then all you have to do is you put it on I have a lanyard. I actually used your IPS lanyard that you sent me for the press pass. I used that very lanyard. I three hole punched this so it hangs on it. So I have my IPS pass that hangs behind it. And I just wear it around my neck. So this little wheelchair is, you know, people see that. They see I don't have a mask. I walk in with confidence and I say, if anyone says anything, and I have been everywhere, I've been to the only place other than Universal has been Sprouts, the grocery store, but I still got my chocolate chip cookies. It was as uncomfortable for them as it was for me. I bullied my way through it. But everywhere else, all I have to do is say, I point to this, and I say, I'm sorry, I have a medical disability. I can't wear a mask. Oh, no problem. Come on in. And they legally cannot ask you what your disability is. I have another video that you should see that happened over the weekend, and it's Karen confronts me at Sam's Club. So I think I can't remember what the name of it.
Some of the comments mentions this. So back in April, these cards were being made. And the news media did some hit pieces afterwards saying, oh, these cards don't work. You can't use these.
That card was made. This is the card that was being made.
And they were attacking that. Daily Beast attacked it. They're also attacking neck gaiters. So you can see the media is responding to anything that we do to get around what they're saying. And to me, I think one of the best defenses is just pointing out how this is so much just security theater. So like you walk into a restaurant with a mask on, you sit down to eat, you take your mask off. That's like having a pee section in a swimming pool, as far as it's a part of the stuff, getting the same air as everybody else.
That's great. Well, look, here I've arrived at this conclusion because I see every frickin' person out there wearing a mask except me. I just have arrived at the conclusion that people just don't want confrontation. So I decided to do this and make this printout for people that if you want to just try it, just give it a shot, because the more people that just try it, I'm telling you, nobody's going to stop you. And if they do, nobody, I mean, I didn't even have Universal or Sprouts call my ADA advocate. They just wouldn't do it. And you have the right to be able to say, because there are exemptions in all of these executive orders, even at the county and city level, that say, if you have any medical issues that you can't wear a mask, then you are exempt. So all you have to do is say, it's in the executive order. I have a legitimate medical disability, and I am very careful in that document that I wrote. I define disability, Webster's Dictionary, and it's right up top. And so we are all disabled at this point in time. And I'm telling you, if there can be 100 people in my grocery store that printed one of these and just wore it and got through like I do every day, every single day, and all of a sudden people started seeing people without masks, maybe more people would be brave and take off their masks. So I just don't think you can argue people into taking off the mask. Personally, I think they are so under the spell that strategy just isn't going to work.
I think you're right about that. And about a week ago, there was a group of, it looked like, young people, whatever, teenagers maybe, they were running through Target without their masks on,
yeah,
and they were blasting D. Snyder's "We Ain't Gonna Take It Anymore."
So ironic, huh, Tim? Wow.
Yeah, when D. Snyder came out and he said, "How dare you?" He had his Greta moment.
Yeah, like, how dare you? Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, this is like a paean to, like, this is a paean to, it's an anthem to rebellion. And to,
yeah, and he didn't like it because it wasn't his rebellion, or it wasn't his idea. Or more like it, he's fully on board and subscribed to the mass society that he's probably, if he doesn't subscribe to it, he's out of whatever he's in now, which is probably nothing anyway.
Well, everybody is. I mean, what's the benefit if you're anyone to swim upstream against this? Honestly, there's really no benefit to doing this, except those of us on the front line, those of us, small percentage of people that aren't under the spell. I don't know why we aren't under the spell. I really don't. Because there are some very smart people whom I know who are under the spell. And for the love of God, I cannot reason them into anything other than they always reference, no, you know what? I know some people who have gotten really, really sick, and these are people whom I trust, and these are people who wouldn't lie, and I know doctors.
Actually, I just to that effect, Tim, do you follow Pockets of the Future, Paul Romano, or he has a pretty big YouTube channel, 200,000 views, and just to what you said, Uncle Lon, he was saying that, okay, he got COVID, and he said, yeah, he knows the difference between COVID and the flu, and he's convinced he had it, and he said it's really bad. So I'm worried about him being maybe a truth or crisis actor in some way.
The only place you catch this virus is on the TV, period. That's it.
He's either got Munchausen syndrome where you place it, whatever, or he's an agent, or just maybe it could just be a little bit of crisis acting for personal gain, or it could be compromised. Like, I think D. Snyder is probably an insider. No way he's not. You know, he's controlled opposition for real rebellion. Oh, this is what rebellion looks like. You put on makeup and you scream at your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a good idea anyway. So I'm not surprised that he went against it. It just shows how shallow these celebrities really are when it comes down to standing on any kind of principle. And then we have The Rock coming out catching COVIDs.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a PR stunt at this point. Like, I ought to come down with COVIDs.
it's his latest video. I'll put it in the chat. I couldn't believe he was saying that.
And then they plant the seed that, you know, you're going to lose your taste. And where did that come from? Because that then becomes part of the spell. I guess I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've been sick. But I presume that if I thought about it when I was sick, you could probably talk me into that I was losing my taste.
Well, you know, the mask does cut off your sense of smell, which your olfactory sense is a huge part of your taste and how you process taste. And so we could really have people not actually tasting foods like they used to, and it could just be...
That's interesting. Well, but what about this, Tim? I had a And I made a video again this weekend. It's down there. I made a video. I was working out at the gym and I walk in and I'm the only one that doesn't wear a mask into the gym, but it's so stupid. I love your, when you said that it's like having a, you know, no pee section in the pool. I work out at LA Fitness. Now you have to wear a mask to basically scan your card and then go around the desk. Then you can take off your mask. It is so freaking ridiculous, right? But everyone does, but probably about 20% of the people keep the masks on full time when they're working out. Now, there was a girl who was there who the very first time I went in said, no, you have to wear a mask. And I said, well, please scan my card. I've already talked to your attorneys in California and it should pop up that I am exempt. And she said, yep, sure enough. There you go. Have a good workout. So anyway, I started talking to her and she told me, I told her yesterday or 2 days ago that Governor DeSantis has lifted the order in Florida to where they're not going to issue fines for wearing a mask. I said it probably hasn't processed through yet from corporate, but I wanted to give her hope because she just has told me so often that she hates it. So anyway, she told me further, she said, you know, I have two jobs. I work this job and then I go, I'm a pharma tech and I work that job. So I'm working usually 10 to 12 hours a day. And I have to wear this mask the whole time. I get headaches and I just hate it. And I said, man, I just really feel for you. And I told her about fake11.com/mask. And I said, you know, I mean, you can see if that might help with your employers. I don't know. But she then told me the saddest damn thing. She told me that her father had a heart attack back in March and he had to go into this, basically ended up in some kind of care facility. And I don't know if he's a senior, if he was old or he's a senior. I don't know. She was young enough to where I can't, it felt like she was talking about her grandfather, but I think she said her father. So anyway, she told me that since March, she and her mother have not been able to see him at all. Because of this COVID bullshit. Can you imagine?
And that's what'll kill them.
And I was thinking, imagine they allow them to Zoom to, or FaceTime 2 times a week, and that's all for 30 minutes. I would go insane. If that was me, I would literally go insane. And you know that to me, that is so freaking evil.
It's abuse.
It's abuse, and that's why we gotta take off the fucking masks, people. Print off one of those cards. Use it as a bluff, if you will. But please, just start taking some action. So, I mean, I believe that if everyone took off their mask, everyone, for, let's call it 3 days, everything would be back to normal.
No, I don't. I don't know. Tim, where do you see it? We've been going about 90 minutes now. We don't want to keep Tim too much longer because he probably does another show right after this.
Sure.
What, Tim, where do you see all this going? Where are we going? Do you subscribe like I do that we're in the Great Reset as laid out by Emperor Schwab, who should be at the tip of everyone's tongue? And we're in year one of a 10-year plan to get to 2030, where they're going to realign all the countries, all the corporations. This isn't going away anytime soon. So people with their mass protests, as much as admire Uncle Laud and all the marchers, they are running up against the machine. The machine is not slowing down.
Yeah, that's a great question. And where is this thing going? Is there any turning back? I think that it's like the zombie apocalypse. Once they've turned, they're not turning back. The people who have politically sided with fascism aren't going to go back, and they're tacitly approving of the riots and the looting, even if they don't say it. And the peaceful protesters are all looters because what are they advocating? Redistribution of wealth. So I don't think there's any walking it back. It's clear by the Metascript that we're being goaded into civil war. It's being made to look inevitable in order for, I think, a third-party clampdown. And by third-party, I mean an outside force, whether it be UN or aliens. And I think this black versus white dialectic is not about race. I think it's actually about the social alchemy. involved in destroying freedom by turning half the population against the other half. And so I think the Hegelian dialectic leaves us at a big reset. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start over at year, if we start over, like if they really hit the reset button and say, well, look, history is a white power construct. So let's just start with 1619 when the first African slaves arrived. Like that's the type of thinking that I see out there. And it wouldn't surprise me. Look how they're pulling statues down and look how many hundreds of thousands of, if not millions of videos and comments they've removed because they're trying to curate reality.
Yeah, that's the censorship. The Fahrenheit 451, I guess, I think you called it, referring to that book burning. Yeah, it's, they're erasing everything. Do you think that the young people today want this because they don't see themselves fitting into the system? I had one great comment today by one of my, lawyer commenters. I think he trained as a lawyer, but he works as a landscaper. And I'll just try and pull up that comment real quick by SMJ, because as hard as he is to decode sometimes, sometimes he makes a lot of great sense, and he's probably he listens to most of these audios. And let me just quote from SMJ if I can find it. It's been a very busy time on the fakeologist.com blog. In comments. I usually don't get a lot of comments, but now it's been off the charts. So let me just find that real quick. What do you think of the young people, though, Tim, while I'm looking for it? That
yeah, look, this is the thing, too. When you look at the Metascript, I also look at the subtext and the occult new age that's being we're being transitioned into. And the new age has always been framed, if you look at the new age movement, as basically a youth thing. Like Greta, David Hogg, Greta's like, she's advocating for going green, and that's because the wrath of God, it's the new system. And Hogg is advocating for disarmament. And this is all part of the same program, and it's targeting the youth. They're being told, hey, you guys are having a youth, or it's like a children's crusade, because your adults fucked up the world, and you're too young to vote to fix it. And then, of course, social distancing puts the old and the young, it segregates them. And this is true to form with all kinds of these various revolutions where they separate the generations so they don't have any connection to the old world, how things were before, to the old programming. So, yeah, I think that the youth are going to spearhead this. And the New Age movement, Aleister Crowley in particular, described the New Age as characterized by the crowned conquering child. So they're going to put a crown on the children that the youth are going to – and that just means to me blank slate, infantilized masses – with the elders or the elites above. So that's kind of what I think the reset's going to be, a new dark age, but it'll look like the Jetsons.
Let me just – I found the quote finally, or I found the comment, and he actually posted this on my Media Bear post called Paint It Vax. And he says here, we have to go down fighting for what? Because I said we should fight this. And he says, we have to go down fighting for what? The right to be deceived by schools and universities, the right to vote for actors – the right to live on crown property so we can pay their property tax, the right to travel on toll roads, the right to participate in sundry needless trades, the right to buy garbage from grocers, the right to visit our leech of choice for pharma treatments, the right to worship at the feet of scientists with a P, sans mask. We are farm whether or not we have to wear face diapers. So he pretty much summarized. So he,
that's awesome.
I think he's thinking just viva la revolution there.
Well, I can tell you that's why I'm doing this, Ab, as part of the process with these gentlemen. Secured Services Company, I'm using them for the Alive and Well Turnkey Secured Party Creditor. So I've engaged them, and this is going to allow me – a lot of what your attorney friend was saying, landscaper attorney, is that this is that – you know, why do we have to bow down to these frauds who aren't legitimately, lawfully in control? Well, you have to get out of that system. But what I like about what this secured services company does is they get you out of the system, but you're still able to engage in the system for commerce. So, yeah. So it's not like you're going to be one of those that now – you're outside the system and you don't get a driver's license. No, you just get it a little bit differently. You know, you sign your name a little bit differently.
Because
now you are your own man. And then when you ultimately go into court, they have no jurisdiction over you. And to me, I'm fascinated as hell. Stay tuned because I'm going to share the whole process with everyone as I go through it.
But what SMJ is really saying is, do we really want to fight for the system that so many people are disenfranchised about, and we're under the spell of medicine, GMO or glyphosated food that's toxic to us? Do we even really want that system that's basically keeping us prisoner? It's a really good question.
I think Owen Benjamin says it best. He calls it lollipops and fancy pants. I think that's what we all are used to. We want our lollipops and fancy pants, and we want our bread and circus, and we want our football. And
well, I don't want football. I know you do. What is Tim? What do you think? Is the revolution worth fighting so we can go back to the old way, or does this commenter have a point? I don't believe in Greta's ideal, but.
What's the alternative, Tim, to have social scoring and have them totally control us? I mean,
That's their alternative.
Well, I'm not going to get goaded into calling for a police state because the riots are out of control, because I know who's paying for the riots.
Right.
And I think a lot of this that we're seeing, too, is they're trying to get people to line up and take sides. And I think that right now what we're doing is not even partisan. It's beyond that. We're actually offering a post-media critique. We're off the world stage, a growing network of us occupying the seats while the world is actually on the stage with the ad.
Right.
And so we're on the outside, and I feel like I don't have any hopes of winning by reaching for an American flag or reaching for a Molotov cocktail. I think the answer is inactivism. And I've been saying for a while,
that's good. Know,
what is your Trump money on ammo or popcorn? And I'm leaning towards popcorn.
You got a way of saying things, Tim.
I love you, Tim Osmond. You're awesome.
That's why you got your own show, and you barely need guests.
Exactly.
You don't need guests, and you barely need callers. Although you do pretty well. You have some great callers.
You do. Did either of you guys hear the latest London Real podcast that had Alex Jones on it?
No, I don't even know where that is.
Oh,
Tim. Does Tim listen to that?
I know London Real. I followed his David Icke one. That was the one that got banned.
Well, you got to find the one with Alex Jones that just came out. And Alex, you know how Alex is Alex, but he also comes out with these nuggets of pure gold of truth. And it was interesting. I did not know this, but all of the cities that are doing these draconian lockdowns that are just like obscene, like over in Victoria, Australia, and Houston, Texas.
They're all strong cities. They're strong cities.
Is that UN cities?
Well, yeah. Maurice Strong was a Canadian who's since gone, dead. But he, I think he had something to do with setting up these strong cities, which may have been also smart cities. I'm not sure if it's the same thing, strong cities, smart cities. Yeah, but there is a list of them. So they're the ones they're targeting, well, I suppose.
I don't know if he used the word strong cities. He was saying UN-controlled cities, that they're the ones who have...
Well, that's... Yeah, there's sustainable cities or whatever. They're the Agenda 2030 cities, basically the cities that are most following those guidelines.
But it would be really interesting to know which cities those are.
There is a list. Marcus posted a list.
But to find that would be great. Can you send that to me? Because I'd like it to get this over to the Secured Services Company folks, because those are the states we should target with this notice of liability. I mean, those are the ones that have those cities that we especially need to concentrate on.
Tim, are you aware of those?
Yeah, I do think that's the future plan. I think the future plan is it's neo-feudalism, which means restricting travel and getting us into this sustainable delusion, because it's not a sustainable thing. You're in this Mars Dome gulag, but it's going to require outside support. It's not going to, it's like Chazistan. They want a Chazistanian world order, and that is the blueprint. And of course, this is a very anti-human thing. Agenda 20, One, it's about locking us down. And I think for some time, we all know that environmentalism has been used to try to drive us into this as an ideal. But the space program makes it a necessity. You know, you can't go to a Mars base unless it's like a sealed, hermetically sealed environment. Everybody in there has to be vaxxed. It has to be sustainable, and it has to be independent of outside. It doesn't, you know, so in other words, they've been preparing us for this as an ideal using environmentalism and the utopianism of outer space. And I think ultimately it's just feudalism all over again. We're supposed to move and travel and be free. And that's what they're getting rid of. And COVID-19 has really advanced their environmentalist agenda. It's done Greta's work.
Well, let me read the Canadian cities, and then I'll find the American cities. Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Ottawa. Those are the strong cities now in Canada. But, of course, it's worldwide. Now, United States. We have Anaheim, home of Disneyland. Atlanta, Aurora, which is Aurora, Colorado, the Aurora shooting. Phony school or the theater shootings, which I believe Aurora is close enough to
Denver.
No, I think it's also part of the what do you call it? The Columbine.
It was in Aurora, Columbine.
Well, it was in Littleton, but I think that's part of Aurora or close enough.
Yeah.
Well, it also has Denver as a strong city.
It's all the same. Denver, it's all.
It has Los Angeles, Louisville. It has Montgomery County. I don't know where Montgomery County is in the United States.
I don't either.
Not off the top of my head. New York. So I guess that's New York City. San Diego.
Oh. Interesting.
So these are the strong cities. I think it's named after Maurice Strong, who was the United Nations guy. So there you go. If you're in those cities, get ready. Chattanooga. I forgot Chattanooga.
Tennessee?
Mm-hmm. They don't put the state. They just put city, country. But there you go.
Dollar Vigilante has said that it's probably a good idea to move into countries that you know aren't going to be depopulated. And that's probably wise. I'm not sure how they're going to affect it all. I'm not really a doomsayer very much, but we've been vindicated with a lot of our analysis over time here. So they're trying to shoehorn everybody into adopting this green world order thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just so convenient for them that now they have arguments to use in their favor. Like they've said, hey, look, COVID-19 has shut down the economic activity, and now we have clean air again. So they're constantly trying to advance their agendas. I thought it was pathetic couple weeks ago when they were trying to blame the fires in California on climate change.
Right.
It's like, okay, climate change hits California, but it stops at the border. How does that work?
Well, actually, you're right that they are already making the transition from COVID to climate change.
Climate lockdowns.
Yeah, climate lockdowns. That's already in the narrative right now. It's been released.
Wow, that's alarming because climate lockdowns, I've been wondering when they're going to do this. Like, they're going to say that air pollution, they have different ways of doing it. But they could even, at one point, they'll say, hey, there's a space junk alert, no traffic today in this city. Like, that's where they're trying to get us, where they can just call the shots, and they have a whole bag of tricks, a deck of Illuminati playing cards we haven't seen yet. And they're getting us ready for this this climate catastrophe, which they have to manufacture it. And I'm looking at those fires as a political stunt. They probably set those fires
in
order to position politically and to pose in front of it and say, I can save you from what Trump did. And they scapegoat the right for the fires. They tried it last year too. Nothing about any of this stuff seems organic. Like, we're on a big Truman show.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who control it.
But are anybody paying attention anymore? I mean,
just us. Tim's paying attention. I'm paying attention. But is there, are the mainstream?
Yeah, I'm just going back to the fatigue. Are people fatigued? But then again, I think about my parents, and they spend the whole damn day in front of CNN, you know, so
or MSNBC, yeah.
It's just hopeless. I mean, if you're getting fed that all day,
well, they've never even heard of alternative media when they're a certain age. They don't know how to access it. My in-laws don't have a computer. They don't have anything except the idiot box in the corner. So, yeah, that's
why everyone in the chat right now who's talking about this frickin' Agenda 21 and all of it, you're welcome. you're welcome at the little kids table at Thanksgiving with Uncle Odd and my little buddies, because I think you probably, you probably are exiled in your family too. I don't even think there's going to be Thanksgiving this year. I think everybody's, you know, so concerned about catching the boogie virus. Well, I know I have family members.
Everyone on Halloween is going to be wearing a mask. I've always heard the official agenda 21 on masks is you should wear makeup because masks can obstruct your view when you're crossing the street.
Now check this out. So 9/11, I kind of feel like those of us or those people who are watching closely after 9/11, they kind of lost the game at the very beginning. It was rigged against the truth. And for 19 years, they've managed to more or less control it. And it's really hard to bring it up and say, I don't think this happened, where they feel like 3,000 people died and they've cried over it. But I feel like with this 3/11 thing with COVID, mm-hmm. I don't hit people as emotionally because nobody actually saw a pile of bodies except on TV. And I kind of think that 3/11 truth compared to 9/11 truth has a better starting point, because when 9/11 truth started, nobody knew about crisis actors
right.
that we do now.
No, we didn't know any. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything until 2012.
Well, I think we're better. I think we're better off now than we were 19 years ago.
Well, is that that's I why? Agree. I mean, and I use your term all the time now, Tim. Auto hoaxing. I mean, that's my natural tendency now. It's just I hear something, I'm like, and right now, you know, and this is a word that I think you should incorporate. We are not having a pandemic. I think we should take back the language. It is now a case-demic, period, full stop. Everything that they talk about now are about cases. And think about that logically. Cases aren't deaths.
Cases well, we're are all just cases. Every one of us is a case, a potential case.
Oh,
hey, let me mention this really quick with auto-hoaxing. Auto-hoaxing is a form of information processing. So we're not automatically disbelieving the news. We're actually processing the news. Most people have actually passed that on to the news, and they just trust it. And since they're not automatically questioning what they're perceiving, and that's what you do every second. Every step you take, every time you drive down the street, you're processing information. And if it's real, you treat it as real. If it's not, it's not. And that process of perception somehow gets left at the door when somebody goes in to watch TV. And that's what an auto hoaxer is. They're actually questioning all of the mediation that we get. And it's not any more complex than requesting a proper burden of proof. And if the news media shows us something and it reflects reality, there's no reason to call it fake.
Sure.
So we're discernment. Our discernment here is what we're utilizing. And most people aren't using it. And I don't even know if you can fix that right now, because it's more of a philosophical problem mm-hmm. than a problem of just having the wrong answers.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had Tim for almost 2 hours. Do you want to wrap this up, or we don't want to overextend?
Tim, I thank you for joining us and coming on board. And, you know, I feel like I've known you forever because I listen to you so much. I have breakfast with you every morning, seriously.
And you're hopefully a Patreon or patron of Tim?
Oh, I am. Oh, sure. Good. Yeah, actually, Tim, though, I, you know, you did ban me, or somebody with a wrench banned me out of your Discord server, and it broke my heart. back in that Brickanon thing, I did that Brickanon. I thought it was funny and whatnot, but because I used some Fefe or whatever you call it, memes.
Oh, let me explain for everyone here. During Brickgate, when the riots started, when the looting started, when the shock was still there and fresh, piles of bricks were showing up all over the place, and people were smashing up cities with it. And we were just looking at the looting and the violence. And so then we called it Brickgate.
Yeah.
We had a song come out, Let's Start the Riot. Anyway, it was a really heated period. And yeah, during that period, a lot of people were worried that we would get blamed for dropping off the bricks.
Oh, wow.
And because there is a point where they will take you seriously.
That's true.
And so I wasn't necessarily worried about it. However, enough people were to I thought, well, you know what? Let's not implicate ourselves in incitement just yet, just in case. But you know what? Just yesterday, one of our reporters was out there in Yorba Linda, and apparently it looks like he may have started the riot that ended up with the Antifa running over Trump voters driving out of the parking lot.
Wow. Well, I don't know who it was that I was listening to, but he had a set of cojones on him. man. Just he was giving it as good as they were giving it. I'll tell you.
Well, he was calling them face diapers, and the term face diaper was very triggering. And I use that term because it's infantilizing.
Yeah, yeah, so
you can't be sick individually. You're collectively sick. You're a bunch of babies for the nanny state.
The problem, though, with what he was doing in my mind is he was, as he said, in the belly of the beast. But what I see are these guys with these 5 feet skateboards that come up behind and attack. And they're just, you know, these are these pussies that live in their mom's basement. And they're the ones that, you know, when they're masked up and they have their skateboards, they're pretty brave if they come at you from behind, but they do come at you from behind. So that's what I would worry about if I was him.
Oh, I'll never trust a skateboarder again. I never do. I see a skateboard, I'm like, okay, he's got a weapon. And I'm wondering, like, is it legal to shoot ninjas? I know it's like, you know, if somebody's menacing with a chainsaw and a mask, you know, it's a go. But what if you just see ninjas? Because I'm seeing a lot of them cropping up, and they're all armed and dangerous.
Oh, I love how your mind works.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate all my subscribers here. I'm going to send them all over there to, obviously, Fakeologist and FakeoTube. And where else?
This is on YouTube. We're FakeoTube with Uncle Lod. So it's the the five-leaf orange clover, which is fake AF.
And Uncle Lod is going to take a page from your book, I think, and do the restream so he can get all over the place with his channel, because he should – If he's tip of the spear with all his guests, then he might have problems with his YouTube account. So I think he has to get across a wider spectrum quite soon, because I think you're up to over 500 subs all of a sudden now.
Yeah.
So you're getting on the radar.
We'll have to get your username and Discord unbanned. And if you have any questions about getting onto the multi-streaming, will help, because the vision here, I think long-term, because it is long-term, no matter how much they try to censor us, obviously we haven't gone anywhere. Long-term, we're going to network and we're going to create a counter-media presence. And it's going to take a few dozen, maybe that's all it's going to take, auto-hoaxers, 24/7 streams, reporters on the street, and we're in a way better off position, I think, than we have been for
And Tim, you were going to try and get on regular AM radio. Do you think that's worth the time or the money? Is anyone listening to AM or FM radio at all anywhere still?
The way I'm looking at it now is, and this is just from having looked at it from both sides very closely, now managing that Dark Matter network, and I'm seeing how that works. They used to have like 12 million a week live on AM. But all that
is that a real number, though? I'm really suspicious of that.
Well, I think the way they count it is it's like every quarter hour, and there's a certain rating system. So when they say 12 million, it doesn't mean 12 million at once.
I listen to radio guys on podcasts, old radio guys, and they're quite convinced that radio statistics are completely fraudulent, especially now even more.
Well, I'm going to find out for myself. My approach now is I'm looking at various radio stations that they will carry your program for a fee. Or they put ads in, which is totally worth it. And I want to see, because when I talk to, they claim, and it's in Tampa, in fact, that they have something like 30 WWPR, I think, 1492.
Okay.
And they basically, you pay 50 or per hour or 1,000 for the month, and you get 21-hour slots. And I thought, well, if they carry it from midnight to 1 a.m., open phones, and we're reaching even a tenth of that, it's worth it.
Yeah, so that would be.
I'll invest into radio to bring them onto the digital, because that's the future. I know with Dark Matter, for example, they've been on for so long that they've just aggregated a lot of people on various apps. So there is a built-in audience for a lot of programs. But right now, I think we can do the same thing, but keep it with people who are, you know, post-bullshit media.
I like the idea. So if you bought, say, $1,000 worth of slots, would we be able to, say, buy a slot off you, and then you just shove our show on or something, or if you didn't want to use it?
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent idea. I was considering, because I would be using some slots for open phones. Others, I'd be playing music that people have never heard before and plugging it. So yeah, that is something I'm considering, maybe even for next month, for October, because that's when I'm really going to take more time in.
And are you worried? Do you think it would be censored?
I don't think so. It's a language. As long as the guy over there, I spoke to one of the board operators, because you're paying for the board operator, essentially. They work with a delay. So anything that's going to violate and get them in trouble, they'll cut. But it won't be an issue. And if you feel like it might be, you're always, with many of them, you can actually give them pre-recorded shows to play, to test it, just to see if it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to check out very soon, because I think we can really blow up.
I would like that. And Todd's in Tampa, for God's sakes. That would be amazing. We could grab a slot and do an open phones and see what happens. See if there is an audience. Because I'm a little skeptical that anyone at all is listening to the radio anymore.
Right. I see where you're coming from. And then, of course, you have the competition from the decentralized thing. It's like, who's listening? But we'll find out. You know, I think we'll find out how big it is or if it's actually dying. I don't think it's completely dinosaur. I think it's just morphing and blending. And so what I've done since taking over managing the dark matter thing is I've taken this radio station that became digital radio, and now I'm integrating it into video, like everything I'm doing here.
Okay. Well, you're on the tip of the spear when it comes to getting across different networks. Unbelievable.
So, Tim, should I just come back to the Discord server? Just come back as Uncle Odd? Because I used to be Heroes or Todd P, but so I don't know.
Is this a technical call now, or just for your personal issues, or are we just
I just want to get back in. I love those memes. I missed them. It was like it broke my heart.
Well, yeah, look, that's easy to do. I'll bring you in. And commenter here remarks that a lot of people still listen to the radio. You can listen to Janis Joplin on Democracy Now.
Yeah, Amy Goodman or whatever. She's the only time I hear about her is on the No Agenda show. Do you listen to the No Agenda show at all, Tim?
Oh, yeah, I call it the Auto Believer show. That's an Auto Believer because he responds to everything on the news like it's real. He has a nervous breakdown. Oh, no, 10 died, 11 died, 12 died. I don't know. He's always panicking. And I'm like, that's what happens if you believe it all to be true. He was probably crying for Jussie Smollett all night.
Right.
I know. But they have some nuggets here and there. It's just nobody's perfect, it seems.
Oh, no. I love his work, though. I mean, I follow him because he keeps up with the breaking news. So if there's something happening, I'm on his channel, woke.net. But, no, I like his channel. I do. I'm just saying that's what happens when you believe it all. Because he's not an auto hoaxer, which is fine. He's a
convict. No, he's not. He's not. He's a little... Yeah, you're right. All right, that's fantastic. Great interview. I'll be listening to Tim again, like I do almost every day on the audio. So good work, Tim. Keep it up. And people need to go to your site and sign up as a patron. All independent media. You guys have to support it. $1 a month is absolutely nothing for most people, even in this apocalyptic times. Less than a cup of coffee. And if 1,000 people do that, that's a pretty good support, I would say.
Grows up to be a big cup of coffee.
A proper cup of coffee, as my friend Dom Petit would say.
Excellent. Well, with that, Tim, thank you so much. And we appreciate everyone who's in the chat. We hope you keep coming back. This was fun. I saw a lot of engagement in there, and everybody seems like they're getting along. That's one thing that I've been pretty amazed at is I'm used to seeing just a lot of trolls that come in and attack, but I haven't seen any over the last few. So that's positive.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. I'm going to be on my 24/7 stream. I'll be live later, and I will be sending out my newsletter, and I'll send links. So I'll be in touch with you both via email before I send out my next newsletter to give everybody context for this interview. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Ab.
All right.
Great talking with you again. All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye-bye. Bye.